We are seeking to call people forward to God's will. Calling people forward to God's calling. Calling people forward to God's fruitfulness and purpose for your life. Metaphorically, we are calling people from the back of the church to the front of the church. Nothing wrong with the back of the church. But metaphorically, we are saying, don't sit on the sidelines. Get off the bench. Come and find the greater purpose. Come forward to see what God has for you within your life. And we're using Matthew 25 to do this. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh, Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Because all I want is to be in the light.
Hello, friends, loved ones, and listeners to Live in the Light. We're grateful you're joining us here today as we turn a new corner into a new mini-series. Pastor Robbie joins me in our studio today. And Robbie, we are about to jump into Matthew 25 for a few days. What do you want our listeners to know as we begin?
Well, first things first, Craig, we're going to Matthew chapter 25, where the whole context of this portion of Matthew's gospel is, ready, drum roll, the return of Jesus Christ. We're going to be amazed at how much Jesus emphasized his return. And I just remember so much as you're close to these passages, you get near to this truth, and your spiritual heart starts to beat a little bit faster, and sometimes your physical heart starts to beat a little bit faster too, because you just know it's true. Like Jesus just says, you better get ready, man. I'm coming. So live in the light, listeners, right now. This is an opportunity for us to be alert, to be awake, and to remember this world is not all there is. Praise the Lord for that. Even today, Craig, I was thinking, oh Lord, return, and in some ways, in a good way, and the difficulty. And that's why this series is going to be, we pray, powerful for you and I to see what Jesus says over and over again, that we need to be ready for his return in three pretty awesome stories or parables from Matthew's gospel. Craig, I know you care a lot about this as well. So what do you think about this?
Yeah, you know, Robbie, as you were speaking, talking about the return of Christ, my heart is just thinking the same things. Yes, Lord, please. Even in my home, in my family, in our lives recently, oh Lord, please come back. And I love how these specific parables, three amazing parables that I think our listeners are going to be familiar with. And I bet you they didn't realize, or a lot of us don't realize, they go in the same chapter and they all speak to these amazing themes we're going to. So let's get our Bibles open. Let's go right away to Matthew 25 to learn more about what we're talking about. And the title of today's message is called Urgency. Are you ready?
Let's get our Bibles open to Matthew 25. I'm going to say a few words before we dig into that. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one in the front of the chair that you're sitting facing, and we would love for you to open that up. And Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, and you could find that in table of contents or something beside you as well. But I'll be looking through a few verses from Matthew 25, because God's word is just that. It's the word of God. Let me just pray for us. Father, thank you. Thank you for the joy that is found in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the celebration of life in you. Thank you that no matter where we find ourselves, what trials are upon us, we know the truth that we are alive, that we cannot die, and one day so soon, as you remind us over and over again in your word, including tonight, that we cannot lose in Jesus Christ, and all wrongs will be made right one day soon. And so I pray more and more, Lord, every day is a fight for the truth and the perspective of what is real and to identify what is false. And so right now, Lord, again, I pray you will do that. You will do that within your church. Teach and encourage, admonish, Lord, save. Whatever that means, oh God, would you do that? We are excited now to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, you can say amen. Amen. All right, so new season, loved ones, new ministry year. It feels that way. And listen, it's also a new day for us as a church. And the elders really, really believe that. It's a new day. And with this new day comes a renewed passion. We're praying will come a renewed calling. By the way, I'm not just saying these words because I think it sounds right. I'm saying these things because we believe that, and we want you to believe it too. A new day. There are seasons in the Christian life. There are seasons as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There are hard ones. There are tough ones. There are trials. There's all sorts of forms of suffering, and they'll continue to be those seasons. But there's also seasons that God uses to grow us and to renew us in mind. There's seasons where we drift away a little bit from the center of following Christ. Then God calls us back. There are seasons where we're riding our bike, so to speak. We fall in the ditch and the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to help you up and send you back on your way. There are seasons when we're dry spiritually and we find ourselves to be lukewarm. But then again, by different circumstances and by God's word and God's grace and God's spirit, he revives us and calls us, and like Jonah, he kind of brings us back to his will, and we see it again. We're praying it's a season like that right now. We're praying for that passion to be restored and return, and the urgency and conviction of why we actually live. And with all of that in mind right now, this is why we begin a new series from Matthew chapter 25. And specifically in Matthew chapter 25, this series is designed, it's going to lay it out for you right now, it is designed by God and for us right now to call people forward, to wake people up, to get people on mission for God. So had the chance to attend some different churches in the area. One particular church, pastoral friend of mine, great church, a different denomination than ours. I love what God's doing there. Really powerful, really sweet. And I went to church one Sunday morning with my boys. It was just me and my boys. And I had the opportunity to sit at the back of the church for a change. You know what I'm saying? And so never really get to do that. And so I was like at the back of the church, like kind of back row, even like kind of behind the sound booth back, you know, but I was kind of enjoying that because I never really get to do that. I just kind of want to be a little bit incognito and just kind of stand there. And, you know, it doesn't matter if anyone sees it all. My pastor friend knew I was there. So during the service, he gets up and he's like doing a couple announcements and he goes, oh, we got a special guest with us today. And I'm like, oh, who's that? And he's like, oh, Robbie Simons from Harvest. And I'm like, oh no, like this, right? And so he kind of like, hey, can you wait, Robbie? So I'm sitting there and I'm just, I don't even want to be, you know, just trying to sit there and just kind of hide. And then, you know, so trying to hide, like even some of you are trying to hide right now, right? Right? And so there I am. And then little did I, he's like, in fact, Robbie, come up to the front and we're going to pray for you. I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me like that. And my boys know me well enough now. They're looking at me. They're like, dad, or like that. And they're laughing at me as I'm walking up. I'm like, get out of here, you rascals, right? Anyways, it was so sweet. I went up there and he prayed for me and had the kids were there too. It was really, really, really blessing. But all that to say this, that's really our desire as a church right now. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone at all. No, I'm not doing that. But we are seeking to call people forward to God's will, calling people forward to God's calling people forward to God's fruitfulness and purpose for your life. Metaphorically, we are calling people from the back of the church to the front of the church. There's nothing wrong with the back of the church, but metaphorically, we are saying, don't sit on the sidelines. Get off the bench. Come and find the greater purpose. Come forward to see what God has for you within your life. And we're using Matthew 25 to do this. We're going to see Matthew 25 divided up as it is in God's word in three main divisions, three main passages. We're going to see a call for urgency. We're going to see a recognition of opportunity, Lord willing, next week. And then we're going to see this. We're going to see the mission of mercy that is supposed to come from our lives. We've always been committed to being honest with you here at the church. We've always been committed to being transparent with you. And I'm going to do that right now as well, okay? There are a lot of churches that you will go to that are designed to make you as comfortable as possible, right? It's kind of the mission, the philosophy. Let's just get people in. We'll just make it as comfortable as we don't ever want to offend. We don't ever want to kind of ruffle feathers. Okay, here at our church, we're kind of the opposite. We're kind of as a church here, we're really here. And our intention is yes, to make you uncomfortable. What do you mean by that? Well, to make you uncomfortable with spiritual laziness. We want to be a ministry where it's difficult for you to sit there and do nothing. It's difficult for you to be okay with lukewarm living. It's difficult for you and I to go through the motions, play the game, and not evidence fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. So in many ways, we are committed to making all of us, uncomfortable. Remember who has to go through this first, right? I do. I got to be in the text and I got to get my soul going through the grinder of the Holy Spirit as I bring it to you. What you will find is as we seek to be, you know, putting us in a place that we're not comfortable, these are not my words or our words. What you're going to see here, this is Jesus, the words of Jesus. I mean, Jesus is the one who keeps throwing it down. He keeps putting it out there. He doesn't waste words. He just challenges. He doesn't mince words. He just lays it down. I mean, more than anyone else. And so all we're doing is giving to you and presenting to us the words of Jesus Christ. And it's very clear that Jesus did not want people to get too comfortable. So Matthew 25, again, three passages in Matthew 25. So our first one here from the parable of the 10 virgins today, the theme is urgency. And then next week, we're going to see this. We're going to see from the parable of the talents, opportunity. Every single person be given an opportunity. The urgency to live for Christ, the opportunity of stewardship in Christ. And then Lord willing, week three in September, we're going to see the call then from urgency opportunity leads to mercy. We are to be men and women who go out and show the mercy of Christ that others might have life and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their lives. So just wanted to kind of get that for you so we all know where we're going. So look at Matthew 25 now, verse 1. And as we read this, notice the first verse, then the kingdom of heaven will be like. So everything we're doing right here, Jesus is explaining what his kingdom looks like and specifically now what his kingdom will look like. It's right in front of us. It's so clear. It's Jesus saying, here, don't guess about this. Here it is. And I'm excited for all the different people here this weekend who will get to see this passage as the Holy Spirit wants to do whatever he wants to do with it. I love that. Let's read the text now. It's a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins, bridesmaids, who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins, both wise and foolish, I inserted that, rose and trimmed their lamps. They put their torches in order is what that means. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, notice, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and you, you go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, open to us. Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly, I say to you, I do not know you." And here's the summary line for the entire parable, verse 13. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." In a word, urgency. This parable taught by Jesus is given within what is called the Olivet Discourse. The Olivet Discourse simply refers to the teaching that Jesus gave to his disciples while they were situated on the Mount of Olives. It is days before his death. He's very close to that. And this discourse, Matthew 24, Matthew 25, is specifically and heavily weighted on eschatology, on the return of Christ. Remember, eschatology, it's a fancy word meaning end times. Eska, Greek word for last. The study of last things or the end times, eschatology, end times, the return of Christ. Jesus is setting aside significant Bible real estate to focus on the reality of when he returns and what's going to happen when he returns and how to get ready for when he returns. It's interesting. I was preaching at Harvest Mississauga, and that was such a joy in their new building and the blessing of being there and all that God's doing there as well. and had a man come up to me after the service, and he, with great urgency, he said to me, he said, "Pastor, I need to say this to you, and I strongly urge you to tell your pastor friends as well. As I look across this world, listen, we must preach on the return of Christ." And I could tell he was just so like sincere about it. And I thought to myself, I didn't really say it to him much, but I said, "Well, that's good timing, because that's exactly what we're doing at Oakville next week." For 3 weeks, I was encouraged by that. I just felt that was almost like God encouraging. And then this past week, I was on the radio with Neil Bourne live on WDCX. We were talking about this, came up a little, because it was so interesting, Robbie. He says, because this morning I was thinking about here in the ministry of this church. And he said, "I wonder when they're going to do a ministry on the return of Christ." And I'm like, "You got to be kidding. Really? Like, that actually happened here today?" And he's like, "I kid you not. I had that thought in my mind." And I'm just like, wow, this is encouraging. Apparently we're on the right track. Amen, church? Right? And so we're encouraged by that. And God just gives us these little kind of nods. You're going in the right direction. And how can you go wrong when you got God's word open like this anyways? We need to be aware of the reality of that which is before us. The return of Christ is imminent. So what we have within this parable, we're going to just break down the few characters or elements that are within it. We have 10 virgins, notice. 5 foolish and 5 wise. Virgins, what is that? Unmarried, for sure. Unmarried young women. Interesting that a virgin is someone who's unmarried. A young woman, yet to be with a man. Just had to pause on that just long enough so we could pick up the obvious. 10 virgins can also be described as bridesmaids. That probably works in the context too. They were assisting the bride on her special day. Then we have a bridegroom. The bridegroom is without question Jesus Christ. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, imagery is used as God the Father and Jesus being the bridegroom. Then we have the marriage feast, if you notice that. The marriage feast in verse 10. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is heaven. This is glory. This is awesome. You know, I saw that this week, and I just flipped over to Book of Revelation 19, and blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, just imagine that day, loved ones. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. You mean you walk into the supper of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and the moment all sin is done and all pain and all death and all sorrow, and just to know that's what this represents right here, the reality, those who get into heaven and those, listen, who do not. As Jesus teaches this parable, a bit of context for us, his audience would be acutely aware of the setting of a Jewish wedding. A Jewish wedding, the celebration lasted 7 days. This parable focuses on the first night. On the first night of the wedding, the bridegroom would leave his house. He would travel to the bride's house to get her, and then he would escort her back to his house, signifying the beginning of the marriage. It's kind of a beautiful scene. And as they went back together, there would be this procession of torches. And the torches would be lit of those who were invited to the party and to this celebration of this wedding. If you didn't have a torch, that meant that you were uninvited, that you were a wedding crasher, so to speak. And we're going to see the relevance of that within our text as well. So our context and our setting is before us. So let's again begin at verse number 1. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. That phrase, kingdom of heaven, is often used in Matthew, but notice the difference. Often in Matthew 13, all the parables, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. But notice here, the kingdom of heaven, see the difference in verse 1? The kingdom of heaven will be like. So it's a future aspect and look at the reality of the kingdom of heaven. So with those who have eyes to see, with those who have ears to hear, this is massively important. You say, why is it massively important? Because often we say, man, I wish I could know the future. Here it is right now by the word of God. This is the future. God is telling us what's going to happen. And so how we're going to tackle this parable today, we're going to draw out 4 principles together to extract the meaning of the text and the application to apply it to our lives, okay? 4 principles, and obviously we'll go through them one at a time. Principle number one from this parable is this: don't confuse the professing church with the actual church. Don't confuse the professing church from the actual church. Again, a lot of questions. Let's get those questions answered. The main thrust of Matthew 24 and 25 is a call for readiness. It is all over these chapters. Be ready, be ready, be prepared. Christ is coming. He's returning. Jesus is warning his listeners, be ready, be prepared. Why? Because his coming will catch many people off guard. That's very clear within our parables here as well. And so you're here right now, listen, okay? So just pay attention to this, okay? Jesus is warning us right now. He's warning you. I'm coming at a time you don't expect. He's telling us, do not fall asleep. Stay awake. Be prepared. Some of you are here right now, you're fast asleep. Or you're not awake spiritually. You think you're in, you're not in. You're playing a religious game. It's not real. Jesus is warning you by his grace right now. This message is for us to understand the seriousness of this life and what we are actually living for. Verse 2 now. Five of them, virgins, were foolish. Five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. So right from the start, a contrast is made within the 10 virgins. Five foolish, five wise. And we know from the parable, the wise are granted entrance into heaven. The foolish, another word for foolish, meaning is just stupid. The stupid virgins do not gain entrance. The foolish virgins do not gain entrance into heaven. So right away, this is deeply sobering. Again, Jesus is not, he's not fooling around. He's throwing it down again. He's just laying it out, man. Anyone who's a clue of the context, they're going to know what he's meaning by this. The difference of heaven or not getting into heaven. But notice this, you have 10 professing virgins. But in reality, five are legit. Only five are wise. Don't put too much into the five and five, like 50% and 50%. I don't think that's what the Holy Spirit intends here. I think it's just indicating this is the reality of the church. There are those who have the goods, the reality of Christ, and those who do not. But sometimes it's hard to really tell the difference. Notice all of these virgins claim to be there with the right motive and the right heart. They're all kind of situated at the right place. But notice the proof, though, the proof of if they're legitimate or not is in the pudding. Or specifically, it's in the oil. Now, commentators speculate on oil. What does the oil represent? Most often, oil in Scripture represents the Holy Spirit. That's good. I mean, that works well here. Others think the oil is the word of God, truly received. Others could say it's faith or it's the grace of God received that they might have eternal life. I think the answer is yes to all of these. I think the clarity on the difference between the wise and the foolish is the wise are saved by grace through faith, through the word of God, the gospel, and they then have the Holy Spirit that lives within them. And the foolish are fakes. They're counterfeits. They have an appearance, but there's no oil. They don't have the light to light their lamp for eternity. And certainly, again, oil in Scripture, meaning the Holy Spirit. I love that. You think about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our seal. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee. The Holy Spirit within us identifies that we are children of God. And he cries within us, Abba, Father, that we are adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. He is the light within our lives. I mean, I love that. Without question, in this parable, the oil is the game changer. The oil is the difference maker for the lamps. And notice also, this oil cannot be shared. We'll get to that more in a moment. But each person has to have their own oil. Their own oil to light their own lamp, to be permitted their own entrance into the feast, into heaven. So what is Jesus doing here? Right away, Jesus, there's another instance where Jesus is teaching the difference between the visible church and the invisible church. What do you mean by that, Robbie? Let's put those definitions on the screen here, okay? We've done this before. It's good to be reminded. The visible church is the church as Christians on earth see it. You walk in this church right now. This is a visible expression right now of the local church. You look around and you're like, well, okay, there's people are here. They are representing that they are part of the church because they're here physically. It's what we see. But notice here the difference. But the invisible church is the church as God in heaven sees it. Now, what's the difference there? God knows who's truly saved and who truly belongs to him. We don't. So here's the reality. Okay, this is very important. The visible church among us right now, but the reality is not every person here is part of the invisible church. Who? I don't know. God does. But there's no question there are people here right now that are not genuinely saved by grace through faith, Holy Spirit in them, born again, bearing the fruit of the Spirit, and will never die. There's no question there are some here right now who are not alive in Jesus Christ. And God knows precisely whose are his and whose aren't. Now, our hope is that so many people would attend this church who are not saved, that they might become saved, that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they might be brought from death to life. I mean, that's the whole reason we're here, is to make disciples. But it's very, very important to say, just because you walk into a church and sit down doesn't mean you're actually a part of God's family. Man, I don't have to tell you. I mean, just think of all the people across our post-Christian nation, but even now, still sitting in churches across this land who think they're in, but in the end, God will say, I never knew you. This is what Jesus is teaching right now. Every true believer has the oil, has the Holy Spirit. They have been transformed by grace through faith. And Jesus, again, is going out of his way to teach us this difficult, but really grace-filled, truth-centered message. You think of how many people have played the game, professing to belong, but their lives say otherwise. And again, this is why I really do get excited with passages like this, as hard as it is at times, but I get so excited because this is the truth that sets you free. I mean, like, there are some here right now, and you have been playing a game. Do you know that you know that you know that you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ? Maybe you know right now that you've been playing the game your whole life. Maybe, like, there's no question. Like, you would just know for sure. You just kind of say the right things and show up at the right times. But the reality is you've always kind of looked around and said, man, I don't sense God alive in me. I'm so glad you're here. So glad you're here. The Lord is so over your life even now. So principle number one, man, do not confuse the professing church from the actual church. Principle number two, the return of Christ will take many by surprise. It will take many by surprise. Look at verse 5 now. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Let's stop there. Notice first the Bible says the bridegroom was delayed. This is understandable. The bridegroom is on his own timetable. It's his celebration.
Well, a convicting message for sure, but one that finds us at the end clinging again to the grace that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Loved ones, there is no condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. We cling to that truth today as we wrap up this episode and pray that God's grace be with you this day. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.